Good morning, I'm Robin with KUAC News. University of Alaska Fairbanks officials say the problems they've encountered in getting a $245 million power plant fully operational have pushed the project behind schedule and over budget. But as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, they think they've finally worked out some of the bugs and have come up with a new estimate on when the plant will be online.
This is a great day. Many of us have been looking
ever
forward
since
to
UA President Jim Johnson and about 100 others got together last August to celebrate completion of the power plant. UAF officials have offered at least three predictions on when it will be fully operational. But as the commissioning continued and testing revealed additional problems with the new facility, university staff have had to recalculate their estimates.
The plant has been experiencing a number of minor delays and difficulties as we bring it on, part of the complexities of bringing a large plant on.
Senior project manager Mike Ruckhaus says it's not unusual to encounter glitches during testing of a new power plant. He says they're extremely complicated facilities designed to operate reliably for decades. And he says when problems are identified and fixed during commissioning, the plant's performance improves, as shown in the most recent test run.
Finished a 10-day continuous run and shut down for a relatively minor problem.
Ruckhaus says at this late stage of commissioning, each problem must be fixed in order for testing to continue. He says the contractors can no longer stop work on one system and go on to work on another while the problem's being fixed, the so-called workaround that people in the construction industry revert to in order to keep a project moving forward.
In the project, there's very little workarounds. We can't do other work or proceed without solving each individual problem.
Resorting to workarounds has helped limit the $245 million project's cost overruns to around $2 million, although a university spokesperson says that number likely will change by the time the project's completed. Likewise, Ruckhaus says it's hard to estimate a power plant project's completion date, especially during commissioning.
Developing estimates of when we'll be done during commissioning, it's just based on a general understanding of how long things may take. It's very difficult to understand what problems may arise and how long it will take to solve them.
Ruckhaus says a couple of critical tests will be conducted next month, and he's optimistic that the power plant will perform well.
We're preparing for the performance tests and the emissions test, which hopefully will be happening in mid-July.
He says if all indeed does go well, he's prepared to offer his latest estimate on when the power plant will be online. That is sometime around the end of July. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
With hotter, drier weather in the forecast, more firefighters have joined a wildfire burning about 25 miles east of Fairbanks. As of yesterday afternoon, the Caribou Creek fire north of the community of Two Rivers was estimated at 300 acres, according to the Alaska Division of Forestry. The fire is burning 7.5 miles north of Chena Hot Springs Road near milepost 18. The lightning-caused fire was first reported on Sunday night. A hotshot crew from Idaho is scheduled to arrive at the fire today, and that'll push the number of people working the fire to almost 200. Temperatures in Fairbanks reached 80 degrees yesterday, and the hot, dry conditions are challenging firefighters. The fire is not accessible by road or trail. All firefighters must be flown in by helicopter. The hotter, drier conditions are causing the fire to burn deep down into the root systems of trees, causing them to fall over, and that makes it risky for firefighters and makes suppression and mop-up more difficult. Gusty winds associated with afternoon thunderstorms have also been problematic because they fan the flames and push the fire in different directions. There are 6 cabins between 1 and 3 miles south of the fire. Firefighters have set up a pump, hose, and sprinklers around the cabin that's closest to the fire in the event it gets closer and they have to protect that structure. If the fire grows to the point where aerial and ground forces can no longer contain it, they will fall back to protect structures. A temporary flight restriction is in place for the area up to 6,000 feet elevation to provide a safe airspace for firefighting aircraft working on the fire. In western Alaska, accelerating erosion is forcing several villages to consider moving. In Quinhagak, a village on the Bering Sea, erosion is threatening the sewer lagoon and the building that houses its washateria and health clinic. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger reports it's becoming a public health issue.
Jackie Cleveland is taking me on a boat ride.
So we're going to go towards the mouth of this Quinhagak River to see some climate change impact erosion where the old village once was.
Jackie grew up in Quinhagak, and is the natural resource director for the tribe. She's seen the changes from erosion her whole life. We stop at the site of the house where Jackie grew up. Some of it is underwater now.
So growing up, though, this land used to extend so far out here. And we had this beautiful bed of wildflowers that grew everywhere. And I miss that little wild garden we used to have.
Quinnahock is especially vulnerable to erosion. It's surrounded by water with the Kuskokwim Bay in front and sandwiched by the Arolik and Kanuktuk rivers. Quinnahock has moved parts of the village before, including fish camps and some houses. But the erosion is getting worse and happening faster now because of climate change. Quinnahock Sewer Lagoon and the building that holds the Washateria and Health Clinic are experiencing the worst impacts. And that makes it a public health problem, according to Ferdinand Cleveland, the tribal administrator for Quinnahock. He shows me the multi-purpose building where the Washateria and Health Clinic are located.
This is supposed to be sitting on gravel. See the concrete? There's a gap underneath.
I can see it leaning, like bending in towards this way.
And you can tell right here where it's sinking.
A 2012 report from the state listed the lagoon and the multi-purpose building as top priorities for replacement or repair. Nothing has changed 8 years later. Ferdinand points out the cracks that lace the walls.
So the edges of the building are the worst that are sinking. You could see it evident with the cracks all over the outside part of the building. The concrete is sinking and that drywall is cracking. It's affecting our phone lines. We've already had some phone lines disconnected.
Quinnahock has to construct a new building to hold the health clinic and move the Washateria. He takes me to the sewer lagoon. It's close to the ocean. We're standing at the edge of the beach. So from where we're standing to the fence, how far is that?
It's about 200 feet, 150 feet.
And once it hits the fence?
Once it goes over this berm, that's when we'll have to close down the lagoon.
Ferdinand says he doesn't know how they would close the lagoon if the erosion causes the waste to leak into the ocean. The Kuskokwim Bay is an important food source. Erosion threatens other infrastructure. The airstrip, the water treatment plant, and the water and sewer system for the entire village. The village got running water roughly 8 years ago. Jackie and Ferdinand say it's clear Quinnahock has to move.
Do we rebuild where we are, or are we going to think long term and build somewhere else? I don't know that yet.
For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Quinnahock.
New research shows an iceless Greenland may be in the future. If worldwide greenhouse gas emissions remain on their current trajectory, Greenland may be ice-free in the next 1,000 years. Even by the end of this century, the island could lose 4.5% of its ice, contributing up to 13 inches of sea level rise. Andy Eshwanden, a research associate professor at the University of Alaska Geophysical Institute, is lead author on a new study published in the June issue of Science Advances. UAF Geophysical Institute researchers Mark Fonestock, Martin Trufer, Regine Hawk, and Konstantin Krulev are co-authors, as is Doug Brickeroff, a former UAF graduate student. Greenland's ice sheet is huge, spanning over 660,000 square miles. It is almost the size of Alaska. Today, the ice sheet contains 8% of Earth's fresh water. The researchers ran 500 simulations for each of three climate scenarios to create a picture of how Greenland's ice sheet would respond to different climate scenarios. Their research findings show a wide range of scenarios for ice loss and sea level rise based on these different projections for greenhouse gas concentrations. Currently, the planet is moving toward the high estimates of greenhouse gas concentrations. I'm Robin for KUAC News.